It's amazing, but it isn't amazing, that in our discipleship class this morning, Robert taught my message. And there's a danger in being in a church where there's other men of God. They're liable to steal your thunder. I have a feeling that Robert's been reading the same book, listening to the same God. Oh, it's exciting. This is God's way of confirming. Of course, Robert and I didn't even talk to each other, but what Robert shared this morning, although he didn't use this verse, was exactly the word that God has given to me to share for us. You must believe. Don't look upon human beings as human beings. You must begin to understand that everything is by faith. Do you not see that? Everything must be by faith. I'm just a human being, you're just a human being, but God says no. I look that way, you look that way. But God says, look, I started something way back at creation. It got messed up. I started it again at Jesus Christ. And that thing is going on, and I'm working underneath the forms of human beings. Feeble, weak, forgetful, immature, whatever, all their inconsistencies. I'll be faithful. If you'll expect me to do great and wondrous things, I'll never disappoint you. I defy anyone to say, you might say it, but it's wrong, God has disappointed me. I looked for God and He disappointed me. No, you may have looked to people and they disappointed you, but you cannot look to God and be disappointed. Now God is speaking, and I believe what God gave to Robert, which was really anointed and from God, I believe God gave the same message to me to reinforce or to say again, because it's such an important message to say again, look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. Don't look away for a moment from Jesus. And it was so beautiful what Robert shared. I know the message, but I never heard it like that. It's beautiful. It's just quickened in my heart. Just a joy went up to hear the Word of God. Let's listen. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now he's talking about all the Bible characters. They are a crowd of witnesses. Let us, not pray, but you do it. This is something you do. This is your part. Let us lay aside a few of the weights. No. Every weight. When you leave today, you are going to be light. You know? There's not going to be any weight. Didn't you get rid of your burdens? Okay. Let us lay aside every weight. Now don't look for it. Don't look for it. Don't check. Don't see, but I still feel a little bit heavy. Don't do that. Just watch what it says. Every weight and the sin with doth so easily. Somebody say, it's hard. No, it's easy for sin to beset us, which so easily beset us. And let us run with patience, with perseverance, with forbearance, not quitting. Don't give up. The race that's set before us, answer, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the guy who starts it all, and the finisher, the perfecter, the mature of our faith. Jesus started our faith. He ends our faith. He watches it all along the way. He perfects it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? For consider him, and don't consider anything else, that endured such contradiction, hostility of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, whenever you think you're hard-pressed, remember Jesus. If you think you've got it rough sometimes, and you think you're a victim, remember Jesus. Jesus was, he was the Son of God. He hadn't even done any sin. And the way he was contradicted, or the hostilities that came against him, the misunderstanding that he suffered, he was in constant suffering. Constant. He did, not just at the cross, but all the time. Oh, he didn't give in to it. But constantly he was being buffeted from the time he was born. Herod tried to kill him and, you know, all, just everything. But he had joy unspeakable and full of glory, didn't he? He all the time, he was, I say, happy, but in the Bible sense of happy, meaning a deep joy. Not just a superficial happiness. He had a deep joy. Because for the joy that was set before him, he said, I've got to get up and go again. I can't stay down. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's now seated at the right hand of God. All right? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied. You'll never be weary if you think about how much he did it. And you think, that same Jesus is in me. If he can do it, I can do it. And do not faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Nobody here has done that. Striving against sin. And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children? Here it is. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or chastises. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, when God takes you into the family, he scrubs you up. You know? Now that's a good thing, isn't it? It's good to be spanked by God, isn't it? You know? It just gives you a little red on your bottom. You need that. He scourges you and removes from you everything that would hinder you. He's not trying to hurt you or harm you or pay you back or anything like that. That's not true. He loves you. If you're getting scourged from God, then you're a blessed son or daughter. If you aren't getting scourged, you're illegitimate. Then you're not truly a son or a daughter of God. So it's good to be chastised by God, isn't it? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. It's rough. Hey, when you're going through it, you don't like it. It says in the Bible, nobody likes that. Nobody. So don't think it's real spiritual to say, I'm enjoying this. You know, no, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to vote for it. You're not going to say, please give me some more. But it works blessings for you. Please don't mistrust God. Look, keep your eyes fixed on him. If ye endure, if ye endure chastening, in other words, don't fall away. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh, that's earthly fathers, which corrected us, and we even gave them reverence. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. In other words, maybe your earthly fathers chastised you because you were getting in their way. You know, the little kid's bugging you. Well, all right. But he said, it's not that way with God. Because God would never chastise you out of anger or out of something to harm you, but only for your good. Always for your good. Now, I praise God, most earthly fathers spank their children for their good. But there are some that don't. They just do it for their own pleasure. In other words, keep peace in the house. Shut up! You know, and then they just spank them. But God doesn't do that. God is never irritated with our sins, is he? He's not irritated. He never says, they're making too much noise down there. You know, kids, be quiet. You know, God never says that. He just looks down and says, look at those kids. Aren't they precious? Look at them. Get over here. Look at these kids. You know, and the angels scratch their head and say, hey, they look pretty messy to me. No, these are my children. You know, don't say that. I love them. I love them. And God honors us, doesn't he? Now, he knows how. He says, oh, well, I'll chasten them a little later. I know how to spank them. I'll chasten them. The ones I love, I'm going to chasten. All right? No chastening, verse 11. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Seemeth to be joyous. It is joyous. It just doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem that way. But grievous. It seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So that's the only way to receive it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a chastening God because you are a loving God, so that we might know that you love us, so that we might bear fruit for righteousness, so that we might someday hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." Father, we thank you that we're really being treated as true sons and daughters because you allow us to go through tests and trials and troubles and do not keep them from us, so that we might be perfected, matured, grown up, not like crybabies, not like those that say, "I don't want a spanking. I don't want things to be rough. I want peace all the time." No, we're like those that say, "We expect trouble and we know it's for our good and it will not harm us because God is in it. And even what men intend for good, God will use for, what for evil, God will use for good." Father God, we thank you that you are a wonderful Father. None could be more wonderful. Oh, if I could only lift up today before the eyes of this people how loving you are, how good you are to me, how precious you are, how I love you with all my heart. How that each of us today might leave with such a picture of God as a Father, such a drawing close that we would never be afraid of the stick. We would never be afraid of the rod. We would see that the rod comforts us because thou art with us. We love you, we adore you, we worship you in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said, Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to get the blackboard? Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. The first word in chapter 12 starts out like this, wherefore. Why is the wherefore there? It's there because something went before it. And what went before it was this. The author of this book was telling all about the faithful. He was talking about Adam and Seth and Abraham and Moses and David and Joshua and all the faithful. And then he said, every one of them were not yet perfected. They have not yet been perfected. Every one of them have not perfected apart from us. Wherefore, let us put aside, lay aside every weight and sin. Now, I want you to think this way. Lord God, I can walk without sin. I don't need to be under sin. I may commit an act of sin, but I'm not going to stay walking in it. I may sin today, 100,000 times perhaps even, but I'm not going to walk in it. I'm not going to keep it. I'm not going to stay in it. As soon as I sin, I'm going to say, I'm sorry. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I will walk in faith. I will walk in newness of life. Let us not pray to God, oh God, put away my sins. Uh-uh. God says, you put them away. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can, because I'm in you. And he that's in you is greater. I've already paid the price for your holiness, for your sanctification. That's my will. What is the will of God? The will of God is your sanctification, isn't it? God really expects you to be holy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our church were full of holiness? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, especially all the other people around you. You know, it would be great if they'd shape up a bit, you know. You know, if they would always forgive when you did wrong, and if they would be happy all the time, you know, I mean, in the spiritual sense, and if they would have power and be effective and have words of wisdom and so on, if they were holy people, wouldn't that be a wonderful church? Well, that's exactly what God desires and has paid for, and you can have it today. We can have that right now today. Do you believe that? No, not with me. Yeah, starting with you. You can be holy. Now, you know, we're not teaching legalism. You know, we're not putting burdens on people. Oh, I don't want to hear the law. Look, The law has been done away with. We're not teaching law. What we're teaching is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. When you fasten your eyes on Jesus, I just want to tell you what's going to happen because you may not know. You're going to become holy just like Jesus is. I just want you to know that. It won't be legalism. You won't be doing it in the flesh like you're so afraid now as I've been good for 3 days. You know, I wonder when I'll fall. You know, that's legalism. You know, I'm working hard at this thing. You know, I will not tell a lie. You know, or something like that. You know, I'm not going to. I talked to a girl last night at a teaching I was at, and she said, you know, for 5 days I wasn't full of self-pity. Then the sixth day I fell, you know, and I tried to get up, but I could not, you know. How can you help me so that I don't fall into self-pity all the time, you know? She said, for 5 whole days, as long as I've ever gone, you know, that's no way to win the victory. 5 days without self-pity, you know, she was checking herself every day. Yep, still don't have it, you know. And all she meant was, you know, she didn't have any feeling. That didn't mean she really wasn't, you know. But look, don't fight all these sins. You're to put your eyes on Jesus. Your eye, here's your eye. Your eye is to be on Jesus. There it is. That's the whole of the Christian walk, period. That's it. Consider Jesus. Always look to Jesus at every moment. Maybe you don't like that kind of life. Well, that's all there is. That's the whole thing, is you don't get to look at anything else. Now, you can look at other things, you just can't dwell on them. I mean, really, nothing else. This Jesus, he's jealous for you. He doesn't want you looking at any other girl, so to speak, at any other guy. He wants you just to have eyes for him and him alone. So, looking unto Jesus. Now, maybe Jesus isn't pretty to you, but he is pretty. Maybe he doesn't look pretty to you, but he is pretty. I'm just telling you, he's pretty. Now, I'll tell you why you might not think so. Because sometimes there's kind of a veil. There's kind of a veil between us and Jesus. And you have to go by the Word. The Bible says he is pretty. But appearance says he is at times not so pretty. He is at times weak. He is at times ugly. He is at times mean. He is at times, you know, whatever. At times, Jesus looks like the devil. Did you know that? Did you know that the devil is able to appear to be an angel of light? He can make himself look so nice, and he can make God, who is so nice, look not so nice. Did you know the devil could do that? The devil can do that. But if you've got your eyes on Jesus, that is, through the Word, by faith, and it's going to have to be by faith. You can't do this by sight. If you've got your eyes on Jesus, that is, just because the Word says so, that Jesus is good, you will not fall. You will never fall. That's how to win. That's how to win salvation. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Of your faith, of my faith, of our faith, of your faith, whatever. Jesus is the author and finisher. Two things. One, this is for salvation. This is where we get justified. That's the first thing he does is high priest. High priest. He is the high priest of our confession. He is the author, the guy who starts it all, and the finisher, the guy who sanctifies us after he justifies us. He does it all. He's the author and the finisher. I'm not the finisher. He doesn't start it, wind me up, and let me go. You know, he's there every second of the day. I keep my eyes on him all the time, but through the Word, through the Word, through the Word, through the Word. Always through the Word. Everything in this life is by faith. Even on the day of Pentecost, when the wind blew, that wasn't a wind. It was like. They had to have faith. You know, they heard something, they heard a sound, and they had to say, you hear that sound? Yep. You know what that is? Nope. That's the Holy Spirit. Sounds like wind to me. How can you tell the difference between Holy Spirit and wind? Watch, listen to the difference. Did you hear the difference? You can't tell the difference. You know how they knew? Jesus told them to wait. And they had faith in His word that the Holy Spirit was going to come. He told them the Holy Spirit was coming. When they heard that, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke to one of them and said, "That's me." Yep, that's him. And they all knew it. I mean, it was a spontaneous thing. But I want you to know that was faith. It wasn't like it had a little tag on the wind. This is the Holy Spirit. They didn't know. Everything in the Bible is that way. You know, God doesn't have under His shirt, you know, a kind of a symbol, you know, like Clark Kent has or something. You know, this is who I really am. You never get to see that. In this life, what I'm trying to do is stress to you, it's faith, it's faith, it's faith, it's faith, it's faith. Even though faith leads to sight, even though faith leads to experience, it's still based on faith every step, every minute along the way. God, when I'm faithful, when I believe, God rewards me with things that are not faith. I see them. I have them. When I pray and someone is sick and they're well, I don't need faith. They are really well. When someone is distressed and we pray or we minister a word of the Lord and they're set free, we don't need faith. They tell you, "I'm set free. I don't have the fear anymore." Or the lady last night, "Oh, praise the Lord, I see it," she said. "I'm not full of self-pity. Praise the Lord." That didn't take any faith on my part. It took faith when I started to teach, but not when I was done. Because she said, "Now I understand." That didn't take faith then on her part either. Now she could see. But it would take faith from that moment on, wouldn't it? In that moment, though, she saw it. In that moment, she had it. In that moment, she possessed it. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. You'll never get beyond it. In this life, you'll never see God face to face. I'll say it again. In this life, you'll never see God face to face. The Bible says you will see Jesus. Well, how can you see Jesus if you can't see Him? Faith. Faith is the way we see. When the Bible says seeing the Lord, it doesn't mean getting a television picture in your head. "Yeah, I see Him. Yeah, oh." You know, now I've had visions of the Lord. And many of you have had dreams or visions of the Lord. You could even draw a picture, perhaps. But that is, that's a vision. And I'll tell you something about visions. If you rely on a vision, you're in trouble. Now, visions come as a confirmation to a word of the Lord. But if you make the vision the word of the Lord, you are in trouble. Don't do something because you got a vision. Make sure you had a word, and then the vision comes to confirm it or to illustrate it or to in some way, something else. But Paul says, don't get puffed up with visions and all that. You'll get messed up. Because you can have you can know God by experience and the next day doubt it. I tell you, by experience, that's true. You can say, "I'll never doubt God." And the next day you'll think, "How did I ever believe in God?" You know, isn't that true? Have you not experienced that? There are times when I think, "I don't see how I could ever not believe God with all my heart and soul and everything. How could a person ever doubt?" And the next day I think, "Boy, how did I have that yesterday? I wonder how I got that, you know? I don't see how I ever believed." That's an experience. Experiences can be doubted. But one thing can't be doubted. Why? Because it's written down in black and white. Here it is, the Word of God. That's God's best. Now, if you don't think that's good enough, that's the best you've got. God says, this is the best. You say, "Well, you know, He could have done it in a better way." If He could have, He would have. This is the best. As weak and feeble as it appears, God likes to use things that demand faith. It takes faith to believe in this book. This book tells you everything. I tell you, I am a living example. I live by this book. This book is my life. No other. This book works just as it is. No interpretations. No arguing with it. Oh, I can argue with it. But the only thing you argue with is, "Oh, you can't really mean that, God. You love me? Go on." Yeah, praise the Lord. It says so right here. I mean, the only argument is, "I can't believe it." It's not, you're not really arguing. You're like Mary. "How could this be?" You know, that's a good argument. I mean, how are you going to do it? I don't doubt it. Just how are you going to do it? There's a kind of a natural argument that the Bible makes you have. When it says you're going to be a mighty woman of God, you want to have a little argument with God. "Don't you mean my sister, Lord? You know, don't you mean someone else? You mean I'm going to be a mighty woman of God?" Did you know that the Bible says that to every single woman here? Hello? Do you know there's no excuse for being a second-rate woman? you must be a mighty woman of God. Is that not true? Am I not telling the truth? Same with the men. Are we not all called to be mighty men of God? You say, well, I think I'm going to arrive about maybe a lieutenant, you know, or I think I'm a private, you know, or, you know, I didn't think I could ever be. You don't know. Let God decide. Well, I don't speak well. You know, I don't think I could do it. I don't think fast on my feet, you know. Yeah. That doesn't make any difference. God chooses the foolish things. You're just the great candidate. You're perfect. The one that can speak well, that's probably the one God will pass over. And maybe the only reason he's up there today is because you wouldn't do it. So he had to take second best. You understand what I'm saying? God wants to do great and mighty things with you. When you have the vision, as I have the vision, you will be a mighty warrior. And we will go forward. We're not going to go forward with just me and sort of some people following behind. We're all going forward together. Amen? We're all going forward together as mighty men of God. We need each other. The body can't, you know, you can't go forward without your hand or your leg, you know, or some other part of you. We need the whole body. We need every gift. We need every word. Some of you are so shy yet, you won't share words when you get them. Maybe you're, you know, but we need everything. We need it all. Now, God knows what he's doing. I say, I see you with these eyes, because the Bible told me this. This is the only reason I know. I see you as potentially powerful people. I see you actually, well, not so powerful. Okay, but I don't look at that. I keep looking at Jesus, and I say to myself, okay, I look over here, and I say, Lord, see that? The Lord says, you see that strong, beautiful Christian there? I say, where? And he says, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I didn't see anything. He says, well, you're looking wrong. So he says, look through the Bible and look through my eyes and you will see how beautiful they are. Ah, now I see correctly. Now I can see clearly. Ah, now I understand. You will be a mighty woman of God. You will do great exploits for God. You will be a mighty man of God. Ah, now I'm seeing correctly. Now I have no right to ever say anything else. Because the Bible told me that. It's just by faith. So, looking unto Jesus, let's look at it. Let us lay aside every weight. This is something you can do. Every weight. Not most of the weights, all the weights. Every weight. I don't want to have any weights left today. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Have you found that sin easily besets? It's so easy. You do not have to work hard for this. Sin just sort of cudgels up to you. Says, remember me? You know? It's a familiar thing. And so sin comes to us easily. Don't say, well, I don't have much trouble with sin. I believe I've conquered it. No. Sin comes to everybody, every saint, every man of God. Sin easily besets us. You know, you're just kind of going along, you know, and it kind of gets on you. Have you noticed how it does that? You know, so you're just happy in the Lord and all of a sudden, boom. You know, some depression will come on you, or some wild thing will just come on you. Some lust, some envy, some anger, some something. Well, that's all right. Let us lay it aside. How? Look unto Jesus. Don't look at that. Don't regard that. See, just as you looked at others and saw it wrong, you look at yourself and see it wrong. Here I'm looking at myself. Here I'm looking at others. Here I'm looking at circumstances, you know, whatever they are, look like. What do circumstances look like, by the way? I don't know what they look like. Here I'm looking to idols, you know, other gods, you know, and so on. I'm looking at all these things and they'll all depress me. All these things will either put me in pride or depression. They'll confuse me. I don't understand. I don't know how to look. I'm not smart enough in my natural, you see, to look right. So the only thing good for me is to stop looking at everything else and look only at Jesus through the Bible. Only at Jesus through the Bible. So I just read the Bible. And the Bible says, let's lay aside every weight. Now, if the Bible says it, that means I can do it. If I read in there it says, let us do it, I should not say, now, it's proper to say, I can't do that. But you know when you're saying that you can. But you just want to ask the Lord, how? That's okay to do it like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But don't actually say, that's not possible. Don't really say that. I mean, say it out loud. God, that's impossible. Then give him a chance to argue back with you. When God puts it down in the book, it's true. So here's the way to read it. We don't mind the little doubt. But ultimately, you want to read it like this. Let us lay aside every weight. Put my name in there. Let Jim lay aside every weight. Then go like this. Because Jesus is in Jim, Jim can lay aside every weight. That's the way to read the Bible. Did you see how I did that? I didn't make it a law like the Old Testament. I made it a statement like the New Testament. The Old Testament tells me what I should do. The New Testament tells me I've already done it in Jesus, so get busy and bring it out by faith. I can lay aside. I can do all things through Him which strengthens me. I can do that. So I say here, I will lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset me. And I will run the race with patience. I'm going to need a lot of patience, perseverance, keep going. The race that's set before me. I will look unto Jesus, who is the starter, the author, and the finisher, the perfecter of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now here's the secret. This is the secret. Most people, they get started. They look to Jesus, they get started. But then they don't know that this finishing school. Have you ever been to a finishing school? Now, in a finishing school, they put mud on your... I don't know what they do. But they have all kinds of things. Trials and tests and things, you know. Different things to make you, you know, able to speak right and walk right and talk right and all kinds of things. It's a finishing school to make you finished, perfected. Well, the Bible says here's the secret... is the Lord wants to do this, to finish you, to perfect you, to chastise you. That's His method. So don't look at that. Don't look at that. But just when it comes, don't be surprised. Because that's gonna be the very thing that's going to perfect you. Keep looking at Jesus, but when, here's myself, when troubles beset me, here they are besetting me, don't worry about it. Just look to Jesus. Still look to Jesus. And look at yourself through the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus will use all those things to perfect me. Now, see, a lot of people have the idea, oh, if only I could have peace in my life. If only there weren't so many troubles. If only God would answer all my prayers, I would be happy. Lie. The pretension there is, if God healed you or blessed you or whatever, then you would be happy and love God and so on. That's a lie. That's not true. You're lying right there. Look. If you can't love Him today where you are, you won't love Him tomorrow. You either know God now, because this is the kind of God we're talking about, or you don't know Him. Now, if you just want magic, you're wrong even there, because even if magic came, even if God got rid of all your problems, do you think then you would suddenly love God? No, because you wouldn't be perfected. Anybody can worship God when there's no problems, but you know what'll happen? If there's no problems, you won't even bother to worship God, because you'll indulge yourself. When there's no troubles in your life, you wouldn't even turn to God. There's no need for Him. When the sun is shining, we don't even look to God. You think, boy, if God got rid of all my problems, I would really thank Him. It's not true. I mean, God's pretty smart. He knows that you think that, but you're wrong. So He designs and allows and permits and uses trials, troubles, tribulations, you know, testings, all those things to chastise us. Now, isn't that good? Look at all the scriptures now. Count it all joy when you face various trials, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, endure it. Go through it, because to be finished, he's not only the author, the guy who started you out, but he's the finisher. Now, to finish you off, he has designed certain trials and troubles, and you know what will happen when you're done? On this side of the ledger will be sin, and it'll be gone, flesh. And on this side of the ledger will be spirit, and it'll be released. What he wants to do is divide from you the flesh from the spirit. So who's going to gripe when you go through a trial? Spirit or flesh? Flesh. Who's going to cry when things go bad? Spirit or flesh? Flesh. Who's going to get mad when things don't go right? Flesh. Who's going to feel sorry for itself? Flesh. It's always the flesh. So you have to pay attention to that. That's dead. That part we reckon dead. In other words, I have to look at myself as the Bible looks at me. I divide between soul and spirit. I divide between the flesh and the spirit. And I say, this is the new me. Everything's all right. Hallelujah. I'll let him perfect me. I don't have to even cooperate with him in this sense that I have to help him out. No, he'll just do it. All I have to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, He'll perfect me. But the thing is, what would get me off the eye? Problems. That's always what does it. Some sin in my life. Some sin in my brother's life. Some circumstance that isn't right. That's what always gets me off. That's what makes me look somewhere other than Jesus. So the devil is trying to use all these things. You see, whenever you get in trouble, you'll not only turn to God, but you'll turn to idols. If you have any idols in your life, like a favorite pastor, or a pill, or a doctor, or your intellect, or your mother-in-law, you know, who knows? Whatever, you will turn to that when you get in trouble. You will cry out, you know, as long as everything's going all right, you won't do it. But when you get in trouble, you'll always cry out to your idols. You'll say to them, save me, mind. Save me, husband. Save me, wife. Save me, parents. You know, whatever. You'll turn to the one that you think will help you. It might even be witchcraft. It might be the occult. It could be all kinds of things that people turn to when they get in trouble. So troubles troubles just reveal who your gods are. And you've got false gods. If you've got a flesh, you've got false gods. And God wants to perfect you by finishing you off. And the way He does that is allow troubles to come to you to see what God you'll cry out to. I tell you, there are things coming. There are things in your life already. And you will feel so lonely at times. You will want some human being to come and comfort you. And there will be no comfort. No human being can save you sometimes. Sometimes I know a brother or sister can help you. But if they do help you, they really should just say, look to Jesus. That's the biggest help we can give people. Look to Jesus. Can't you solve my problem? Couldn't you solve my problem? You know, if you would only shape up, I would feel better. Not true, is it? If you had the most perfect husband in the world, would you be happy? The one you have is the most perfect husband in the world for you. You have the most perfect husband in the world, don't you? This takes a lot of faith. Faith. You have the most perfect wife in the world. You don't need more support.
Well, if you'd only support me, you know.
You know, you're always nagging at me, you know.
Other wives don't do that. Oh, they do? Well, you ought not to, you know.
You don't need a better wife. You have the best wife, just as she is. Isn't God able to take what people do, even the sins, and turn them to your good? Then do you have any reason to complain or gripe? Now, you see, you have to think right. This is why you have to look through the Bible. What I'm telling you is the way the Bible looks at everything. The Bible says, count it all joy. The Bible says, you have troubles, but be of good cheer. The Bible says, what men intend for evil, God intends for good. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. The Bible says all those things to help us to look right at our problems and troubles. Hey, God is so good. Look into Jesus. Listen. For consider Him that endured. You will never get rid of problems. You are going to endure. You will never not be lonely. Don't say, I hope I get to the place sometime in my Christian walk where I'm not alone. You will never get to that place. You will always be tempted at times to say, by my sight, I'm lonely. And you will be. You cannot go through with others. You are all alone. Do you know that? Unless you know God personally yourself, you're in trouble. My heart goes out to you. My heart really cries. It really does. Seriously, honestly. It cries when I see people going through things and I know no human being, including me or anybody else, can help them. I know they need God and they don't know Him. And they've been caught. They've frittered away their lives, and now comes the time when some sickness strikes them, some trouble comes upon them, and they don't have the wherewithal, and they even know the answer may be God, but they know they're so weak they don't even know how to reach out to Him. And so they try everything else. They try even going to church. I gotta get back in church. Well, that's good, but that's not magic. Whatever you're gonna learn in church, let's hope it's get to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus loves you. If you knew Jesus, everything would be all right. But it is never going to look right. I tell you, I will have problems to the day I die, and I know that. I'm not looking for a peaceful life in the sense of outward. I will never have, this church will never be free from troubles, right? Amen. Unless you leave. It's never going to be free. There's always going to be people. You know, now if we didn't have any people, we'd be all right. If we started a church of grasshoppers, you know, there would be no problems. You know, they just do their grasshopper thing. But people will let you down. People are going to have flesh. And God knows that. He left the flesh there on purpose. Because if there were no flesh, you wouldn't need faith. And then God wouldn't get the glory. God could author you. The minute you were born again, He could take you to heaven. Then everything would be rosy and nice and sweet, and it would be easy, because all you'd see is God. There'd be no devil, no tears, no sorrow, no nothing. But He doesn't do that. He borns you again and then leaves you right in the midst of your life and doesn't change everything. But He begins to change you and teaches you how to look at life. You become like God. Jesus came down into the world. He was already born again, a perfect person, but nothing went right for Him, but He never sinned. He was able to make it. So can you. How? Because He's in you. That's what we're all about now, is you can't say, I can't do it. You must say, I can do it through Him. Now, even though sin remains in your life, as it didn't in the life of Jesus, even though sin remains in your life, keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. This is what it's all. This is not just the means. This is the end. This is not just the way. It's the goal. This is what you must do. Now, when this world ends, faith will stop. And you'll see Him directly. You'll see Him face to face. You won't need faith. But as long as this life exists, you need this way. You've got to look through the Bible. This God on purpose left this thing just be a book. I mean, He could have done it in some other way. He could have waited till tape recorders came around, I suppose, or, you know, videotapes or something. He didn't. He wanted it to be as shabby as this. God doesn't want advantages. God will always go for the weakest, poorest, darkest, lowest thing. In every case, every story in the book is that way. He never takes the advantage. If I were God, I would have been born in the palace in Rome. I wouldn't have been born in Jerusalem, let alone Bethlehem, let alone in a stable, and so on and so on. God always takes the worst to show you you're wrong, nothing's bad. Because when God touches anything, it becomes powerful, doesn't it? When God looks at chaos, it becomes order. When God sees the chaos of the world and the darkness of the world, He looks at it and speaks a word, suddenly there's a beautiful world comes out of it. God takes the chaos of our lives, speaks a word, that changes everything. God loves to take lives that are full of cancer, hatred, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, sin. He loves to take that kind of a world and say, any God can help a good world, but only the true God can help a world that is hopeless and helpless and hates God. Now, God can actually take people that hate Him and turn them into lovers. That's a true God. And God can take Christians who still have sin in their life and build a church. That's a God. Anybody can take good Christians and make a church. If you people were sanctified and as good as I was, it would be so easy to make a great church. But, you know, look at the state of things. You see the humor of God? Because God's not impressed with people. It is God's desire that we become perfected. But God can start anywhere, at any time. And once you see that, you won't be impressed anymore with outward things. You won't have to look at the church, how it's doing, how you're doing. You won't look at yourself, you won't look at others, you won't look at circumstances, you won't look at the devil, you won't look at idols, you won't look at anything, you'll look at Jesus. Jesus is everything. The whole reason for all of life today is that you look at Jesus. The whole purpose of every problem in your life is to look at Jesus. The whole purpose of every good thing in your life is to look at Jesus. The problems you say, praise the Lord, I need help. The good things you say, praise the Lord, you've helped me. You know, I mean, everything is look at Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus, because someday you're going to live forever with Him. Amen. I tell you, if you look at Jesus, you'll see changes. You'll get all the changes and more. God has given me more than I've ever desired. More, more, more. If He just gave me 1/1000th of what I had, I would be eternally grateful. Just that He saved me was more than enough, but that He did so much more, that He gave me a perfect wife, a beautiful family, a church, and understanding, and set me free from fear and all kinds of things. Well, I could thank Him for any one of those things. Every one of those things is worth eternity, as far as I'm concerned. They were all miracles of God's love to me. They all said the same thing. God loves me. I can't believe it. That is unbelievable. God wants to use me to do great and glorious. I can't believe that. Can you? Do you believe that God is going to make of us a great and mighty people? Doesn't look that way. We're about the same, you know, same as we were. God will do it. But when you get a hold of this thing, or when it gets a hold of you, or when you see what's already got you, you'll walk in victory. God is so sweet. God loves you. I love you. I know what you're going through. I know some of you are all right now, because I've lived that way sometimes when I thought everything was all right. But I know others of you are going through things and you just feel so helpless and so hopeless, and you want your problems to go away. You wish your marriages would be fixed up, and you wish you'd get healed, and you wish you'd have understanding, and you wish people would understand how great you are, and so on and so forth. You know, you don't need any of that. Everything is fine just the way it is. Just look at Jesus and all your troubles will be over. That's a simple statement, but it's so true. Christianity is simple, 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 isn't it? Don't make it so hard. Look at Jesus and all your troubles are over. That's it. That's it. Look at Jesus and everything is over. I tell you, if anybody says, I looked at Jesus and my troubles are not over, you didn't see Jesus then. Oh, Jesus is so good. He is so powerful. But it takes faith. You can't look at him apart from faith. You've got to look through this book. It says in here, Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is in control. I look at life and I say, that's not true. Life says to me, the devil is so powerful. You know, when I go one step toward Jesus, the devil gets five against me. Have you noticed that? It's just almost like the more I step toward Jesus, the more the devil says, you take one more step and you've had it. Boom. You're right. I'll go back. You know, and I'm tempted to want to say, Jesus, I wish I had never said what I said the other night about, you know, I was going to go all the way with you. I wish I'd said I'd do my best, you know, because now I'm embarrassed because the devil was stronger than I thought he was. And you know what Jesus says? You know, he knows I'm going to say that. He says, is it that bad? You know, all we've got is the word. I tell you, this word is so great. Don't go by sight. Go by faith. God says he's mighty, he's powerful. God says he's doing everything wonderful. I believe it. I'm the happiest person in the world. Why? Because God says everything's all right. How about you? Are you not the happiest person in the world? Let's close with this kind of prayer. Father, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have put before me Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He does it all. He's doing it all. He's the only one that can do it all. I need to do nothing. But in him, I can do, by faith, all things. I believe that you love me with all your heart. I believe you do not love me less than Jesus Christ. I believe, Father, that you want to exalt me high, so high. None will be higher, only yourself. And you even lift me up to your very face. I can look straight into the eyes of God and see the glory of God. I am beloved of God. You are the author of my faith. You showed me the blood, of Jesus, which saved me. That's it. I believe that that's it. I believe that Jesus Christ has set me free from everything that would harm me or keep me from an abundant life. I have now your shield and your exceeding great reward. I may not see it yet, but I have it. And I rejoice in that. You're not only the author, you are the finisher of my faith. And what you began, you will bring to a full completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I will be perfected. I choose this day to be a mighty man or woman of God. Thank you, dear Jesus. I look to you, even if my eyes stray. I look to you, and none other. You are my God. It's written. I believe it. That settles it. In Jesus' holy name,
Amen.